Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Many years ago now, in my last church, we had gotten to the point where we could have a youth group, and we were very excited about that, and we said it was for middle and high school children. There happened to be a new family that came to church the Sunday that I announced this, and the youth leader was going to have this thing in her house, and so we had invited all the kids to a big party. So this family was all excited about it, but I guess they didn't get the memo that it was for middle and high school kids. So when these children were dropped off, they dropped the whole family off, 6, 8, 10, and 12. And I could see the panic in the eyes of this newly minted youth leader. How was she going to deal with these little kids? So the pastor jumped in and said, "Oh, we have something really exciting for the 6, 8, and 10-year-old. We're going out for pizza. We're going to leave these kids here." So those little ones who I did not know at all, except that they had come to church one Sunday, I took them all out for pizza. Well, they were all excited about this. And as I'm getting to know these little children, the 6-year-old, who was quite full of herself and seemed to be 6 going on 60, said, "I have a question for you." I said, "Well, what's that?" And she said, and I quote this, "In all my years of going to church, every church I've been into, they make you pay. And they pass around this plate, and you got to put money in it. What's that all about?" Now, how do you explain to a 6-year-old what it means to give to the church? So I started to explain about how at home you have to have money to buy food, and at the church you need money to keep the lights on, and I tried to explain it in terms that she would understand. I'm not sure she was satisfied because she frowned during the entire exchange. It is important, isn't it, the business of the church? And we know that faith is a wonderful thing, and prayer is a wonderful thing, but you also have to have money to keep the lights on and to keep salaries and to clean the parking lot and to do a whole bunch of stuff takes money. And I know that I would be really unhappy if when the ushers come with the plates, if somebody got up and turned them over and said, "You know, this is wrong." I'd be really unhappy with that. Anytime I go to church, I think it's an occupational hazard, especially if I'm going to a big church. I look around and I see, I don't look at the beautiful stained glass and I don't look at anything else but all the cracks in the ceilings and how huge the space is. And I wonder, gee, how much does it cost to heat this place? I'm glad I'm not the pastor here because, oh boy, do they have the work to do. All I see is the business of the place. It takes a lot to keep places running. And it did so thousands of years ago. In fact, I would have hated to be a religious worker out in the temple precincts. We think it's hard enough to keep this building up. Imagine that magnificent temple in Jerusalem. It had taken 4 decades to build. A lot of money went into that. So any time somebody came to the temple, they were told that they had to pay to go inside. I can understand that. They had a temple tax. And so in order to pay this temple tax, you had to have a certain type of coinage. It couldn't be the vile coinage of the Gentiles. It had to be a coin that was sacred and that the temple could use. So that's why they had money changers. It was like currency changers today. If you go to a foreign country, you need a money changer. So that's what the money changers were there for. You also had to come in and bring a sacrifice, and the sacrifices had to be perfect. Well, if you're traveling from a distance, by the time you get to your destination, your animal probably isn't perfect. And so they would inspect these animals before they would bring them into the temple. And I'm sure it behooved the inspectors to say, no, that one's not quite right, so that you're going to buy our product. Now, Jesus' family had done this. When they brought Jesus as an infant, they brought him to the temple, they paid the tax. They were very poor, so they bought something that they could afford. It was two little turtle doves, and they gave those little birds as sacrifices. This was business. And the temple had been doing this for years in order to keep the temple going, in order to have enough funds to maintain that big structure. I can understand that. And nobody seemed to object to it until one day Jesus came in. And the racket in the temple must have just sent him wild. But the ironic part was, he didn't have to bother with that, because where they were doing business was not in the holy place. It was not in the place where he could go and pray and have quiet. Where they were doing business was where the Gentiles would go, the spiritual tourists. The people who did not have to follow all the regulations of the faith, they could go into the court of the Gentiles and they could have their time of worship, and then they could go home. And so I could understand why they would say, well, you know, that's where we'll do our business. But they didn't bother the sacred place. So what sent Jesus so wild? Because he knew that those spiritual tourists needed God as much as the privileged ones who spent time in the temple. And he wanted that place to be sacred and quiet so they too could meet with God. I have to tell you that anytime I take a vacation, I'm a spiritual tourist. I'll go to different churches. Usually not Moravian, because there are so few Moravian churches around. So I'll be a Lutheran one day, or a Baptist another day, or a Methodist. I've even done that here in Door County. I've gone to every single church here since I've been in this area. I've gone at least once to worship. And when I've gone touring, I remember one time being outside of Door County, and I went touring. And I walked into a church on a Sunday morning, and I don't expect to have perfection when I go to church, but I like to sit quietly and listen to the sermon and sing the songs. And this particular church was quite large, and you could see all the activities that they were having. There was something for every group in the church. There was something for single men and older men and married women and single women and children, and there were a crowd of people in the church. And after the service was over, I looked at my husband and I said, Jesus left this building a long time ago. Even with all the business of the church, I felt no sense of the spirits moving. And all I could think of is they were so concentrated on good stuff, the business of the church, that they lost this sense of wonder and awe and a sense of meeting God. When we come to worship, God does not need our praise. God knows who God is. God doesn't need our worship. We need it. We need that sense of awe and wonder. We need a place where there's a space for God to work. And yes, there's business of the church, but let that not get in the way of meeting God face to face. But then there was another gift that Jesus gave that day. Not only did he clear the temple out so that the spiritual tourists could be there and could have their sense of worship, but then he talked about tearing the temple down, and they didn't understand what he was talking about. And there were a double meaning there, because if you remember your history, the temple went away. The temple was destroyed. It was looted, and it was destroyed, and there was no place for people to worship. And he said, but I'll build that temple up in 3 days. He was talking about his own body. He was talking about his own self. And he was talking about the fact that even when we're out of this place, when we are in Jesus, we can find a holy place and a place of worship wherever we go. Tomorrow morning, with the busyness of your homes, the business of this world, we can still find a place of worship and quiet. That's the place in Jesus. And it's so vitally important for us. As crazy as life gets, people ask what we do up here in the winter, and I'm always busy. As crazy as life gets for us, we know that Christ has prepared a place not only in these sacred spaces that we use on Sunday morning, but in your kitchen, in your living room, in your car. There can be sacred places. May this week we find those sacred places to meet God. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you provide for us a place, not only here in this beautiful building, but a place in you that we can come to each and every day to experience wonder, awe, and grace. Amen.